Welcome to the Revillager podcast, where we talk about all things community, what it takes to build, sustain, and work through the inevitable difficulties that arise on your journey towards building deep, meaningful connections in your local community. Join the conversation where we discuss what works and lessons learned from community leaders and dreamers around the world. Let's reimagine, rebuild, and revillage the world.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Revillager podcast. This is Jasper, co-founder of Revillager. I'm joined today by Brad Nye. He's a friend I've gotten to know over the years in the revillaging space. He's a seasoned entrepreneur and currently the founder of Regen Week 24 and its parent company, Regen World, which are committed to catalyzing global regeneration by convening an annual in-person festival of thought leadership organizations in Tulum. Since 2017, Brad has been an early leader in the regenerative movement as founder CEO of Tribalize, which convened an annual thought leadership summit for calling in those developing and collaborating on the future of the regenerative economy and land-based community living. And as a lifetime event producer, Brad has produced over 1,200 networking, informational, and cultural events, including 100 film screenings and post-film discussions with his company, WeView. So Brad has done a lot. he's been in this realm for a long time. We've gotten to know each other through, you know, just basically the network of regenerative companies and events. And I also used to be an event producer, and we were connected through a mutual dear friend. And yeah, we've just been kind of chatting and supporting each other through our own entrepreneurial journeys with this and trying to figure out how to. Yeah, I think how to support the regenerative movement, the village movement, just community in general. I think that's really the heart of it. So yeah, I'm really grateful to have you here, Brad. And he's just awesome. A week away from a massive event happening in Tulum that he's orchestrated, and we're going to hear all about that. But yeah, the first thing I'm kind of really interested in, just to bring you into who you are and for our audience, you know, I'm also really curious about your story. You know, going as far back as you want, what was kind of the seed journey towards community and where, you know, that inspiration?
Thank you. And hello to you, wherever you may be around the world listening to this. I think, let me just acknowledge, you know, our friendship has grown out of I'd like to say, being missionaries on a mission. You know, working on a movement, like going, where's the movement happening? You know, where are these people? And, you know, whenever you're sort of out in front of the curve, which I do believe we have been for many years here, is finding the like-minded, you know, souls that are on the same path is really critical. So when you and I found each other, it was like two entrepreneurs, you know, doing the best we can, trying to figure out business models in a world where business models aren't always the answer to moving things forward. So I have really appreciated our friendship and you know, it ain't easy.
Yeah, likewise.
So, you know, just to give you a little background, I grew up mostly in Los Angeles, and I was around the entertainment industry, of course, and, you know, did my best to stay out of it, but got sucked into it. Spent, you know, a good decade working in a couple of film studios and trying to produce film and television, which, you know, I was always what I called myself sort of I thought of myself as a global change maker, and I wanted to use media as the tool to do that. Funny thing is, in Hollywood, if you want to be a do-gooder, as it's called, you're usually shown the door. It's not exactly a money-making scheme. So I found my sort of allegiance to this sort of multimedia world a little bit challenged because of that. Mm-hmm. So I went off on my own and left the entertainment industry in about 1995, 96. And I started a little networking club called the Venice Interactive Community, or VIC. And, you know, before that I'd produced events, but now I was running a business, a membership community, and we grew it to be 3,000 paid members and did over 200 events in 3 or 4 years. And what was exciting is that we were sort of on the edge there. That was the cutting edge of the digital media revolution. And so much like what we're doing with ReGen World and ReGen Week, once again, we're working with early adopters. And for me, it's really exciting to be around those people on the front lines, people who are seeing the changing of the guard. And when I say the guard, we're going from sustainability and the consciousness around that into regeneration and whatever that means. And we'll talk a little bit more about that on this podcast. But for me, it was a very exciting time to be on the forefront of this digital revolution and meeting, you know, people who went on to create big, big companies in that space. So it was exciting. And I've been trying, I like to say we were on a wave. And if you're going to start a business, my recommendation is look for the wave, because when you're on the wave, it makes it a lot easier. And we did our best in those days. We ran it for 3 or 4 years and did a couple $1 million. And it was very exciting. But and I've been looking for that wave, but I missed the crypto wave. And now this regenerative, it went right past me. And now I'm looking at this regenerative wave. And I've been, since 2017, you coining the phrase regenerative living. And of course, now it's becoming much more of a buzzword that more and more people understand. But frankly, there's still a lot of people that do not really understand the deeper context of what regeneration is. Mm-hmm. And Tribalize was always intended to be a conference supporting those, you know, dreaming, designing, and developing these, what were called intentional communities. Now we call them regenerative communities because they're practicing, you know, regenerative agriculture and using regenerative, you know, power sources and working with regenerative finance where possible. So it's definitely a movement, but it requires a certain leap of faith to get out of the matrix world, leave your day job, leave your funding sources, and go live on land with your friends. And frankly, there isn't a business model to those. I think that's what you and I have struggled with. It's like, wait, even our clients, even our, you know, participants in our businesses don't have money. Mm. And so it really makes it challenging for us to imagine living in a world without money. And so I think we're sort of stuck in between right now. Many of us are considered midwifing this movement and you trying to build software to, you know, enhance the coherency and to offer any kind of set of tools that are going to help people make it easier for people. And frankly, I'm still looking for how to do that myself. And I'm doing my best to build a new business that has a better business model attached to it. And that's what Regen Week is. And we can talk about that, but maybe you have some more questions you can find. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, as you were kind of sharing, and that's really interesting. Actually, I want to go back because I don't think we've ever touched on this. Maybe we have, but I grew up in LA till I was 13.
I do remember that.
Yeah, so I was also in this kind of film world, and it was a really interesting experience. And I've touched back there a few times, and there is this kind of like cutting edge nature of Los Angeles, in a sense. There's so many people trying to push the envelope in different ways, not specifically with community, but with arts and film and all of that. And there's a lot of money there, obviously. But it is one of those interesting things where I do see in LA, like there's this real desire for community from a lot of people. And they actually have some really impressive community nodes, you know, when it comes to all sorts of different subcultures. You know, they have these really seemingly very woven together communities. And so I can really see how you kind of taking that edge from the film into the community would be really valuable, especially in a place like Venice. And that's really cool that's kind of your arc. And I'm curious, so when you're talking, it is so interesting, even in the, like, you know, 10 years that I've been kind of tracking this movement, the way that the words change and the way that people are identifying this pretty, I don't know, it's a pretty open, vague movement right now. As you said, we're kind of like trying to find how to bring this thing together. But because of the nature of it being decentralized and because of the nature of people, you know, doing it in their own different ways, it's hard to categorize. However, it does feel like the word regenerative has, for now at least, become kind of the way of describing the ecosystem of, you know, community building, building the soil and the farm and the land, rebuilding governance structures. Like, it kind of encompasses everything that people are trying to change in the world, is my sense. When it comes to, you know, being more ecological, being more socially responsible and progressive, when it comes to using technology for good. So there's so many pieces to the puzzle, but I'm curious, you know, for you, what does regenerative really mean? And there's no right or wrong. I'm just curious for you what it means.
No, it's funny. These words come into our lives and the meanings of them are sort of evolved. You'll appreciate this, the word broadband. Uh-huh. If you remember at the beginning, everything was broadband. Broadband this, broadband that. Over the, you know, the decade that we've been using the word broadband, it's a little bit more specific now, but same thing with regenerative and regeneration. It's a buzzword. People grab onto it, but don't necessarily understand it. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the sustainability, well, you know, first there was the green movement, then there was the sustainability movement, and now there's the regenerative movement. And actually they've all kind of led to the next one. You know, it's almost a logical progression. You know, green was concerned with our choices about what we put in our bodies, what we put in our homes. And the word green has stuck around, but it, once again, it also doesn't, we don't even know what that means anymore. So the sustainability movement has grown. And now with the sort of climate change narrative and the SDG goals, it's been co-opted, what I consider to be co-opted by the elite to serve their long-term goals. Mm-hmm. And so sustainability, although it's, you know, entered every business sector on the planet, and there's an organization called Sustainable Brands, which has integrated sustainability practices into corporate America. They really did create a bridge. And I do think that we're going to see that in the regenerative movement. I think people will start to, who run companies, look at regenerative practices as good business. Right? Like, we may have to spend a little bit more, but in the end, our profits will go up. Our relationships with our customers will improve. Our relationship with our employees will be enhanced. So I do think we're in that sort of window of progression that we've seen over the years. And I think it's going to take a few more years. And I do believe that the definitions will become more and more clear. There's a couple of people on our team who've been studying regenerative practice and regenerative principles and are able to articulate it far better than I am. Mm. But what I would say is regeneration is mirroring nature and the system of nature itself, which is a constantly replenishing system of abundance. And wouldn't that be nice to live on a planet that was a constantly regenerating system of abundance rather than the system that we've been handed, which is somehow a scarce system, and really not resource abundant. And right now, some of the major issues in society are because the elite have co-opted our natural resources and our communication systems and our financial systems, and they're actually practicing scarcity on us. And it makes it more and more difficult to be a thriving human when you're in a system that's not thriving. So all of us pray for this regenerative movement to create natural abundance in all ways. That's really what the whole crypto refi movement has been about. That's what solar and wind and water systems are all about. We have these systems of natural abundance and harnessing that abundance and giving it back to the people in a way that's really empowering is what regeneration really truly means. How it translates into regenerative transportation or regenerative travel or regenerative wellness, you know, these are all specific, I would call, executions or implementations of regenerative practices inside these sectors. And so just to kind of talk about Regen Week and why that has come about is I've, you know, I kind of watch other systems in the world, and we've seen South by Southwest. It started in 1987. So it's over, it's almost 40 years old. You know, I mean, it's been around, started as a music festival. Now it's one of the top, you know, idea festivals in the world. Mm-hmm. We've seen Climate Week grow to be like 400 or 500 events going on during that week. We've mm-hmm. seen Fashion Week. We've seen Art Basel. We've seen other events that bring together a confluence of an industry sector. So mm-hmm. you're bringing together the entrepreneurial, you're bringing together the visionaries, you're bringing the thought leaders together, you're bringing the practitioners, the consultants, you're bringing an ecosystem together. And what that provides, one, is a system of connection and trust. Mm-hmm. Two, it provides for the opportunities for collaborations to emerge. And certainly it allows for this education of a sector. Mm-hmm. And right now we need as much education about regeneration as possible. So that's why we started Regen Week. The model ultimately is sponsorship and ticket sales and donations. But in our first year, we're just doing our best to just get it on its feet so people can understand what it is and plug into it next year. We're doing it in Tulum, March 21st through the 28th. We have over 80 events that are part of it. We have a film festival with films like Common Ground that has just been released, and a movie called The Village of Lovers that you probably know about really well. Mm-hmm. We have another film called Feeding Tomorrow. These are really important films, and obviously media is such an important way of educating people. Then we've got a couple major conferences happening. We've got Tribalize, which is March 23rd and 24th. It's really focused on this year the social innovations that mm-hmm. allow people to make communities happen. You know, how do we build cohesiveness? How do we build trust? How do we build collaborative systems? And so we're focusing just on that on the two-day conference. Then we're doing a regenerative real estate investment summit where major developers, architects, and designers in Tulum are coming to talk about, you know, how's the system broken? How do we go from traditional development to regenerative development of these properties? And what's going to make the consumer want to pay a little extra to live in a system like that? So we've got, you know, talks, we've got panels, we've got half-day forums, we've got amazing parties at night. We've got this new event called the Earth Kiss Soiree. I'll let you imagine what that might be. We've got, just a really exciting week. And we've got a ton of people coming in from out of town. And Tulum is a really fabulous place to allow people to celebrate life. And so I'm excited to launch the first year. We'll let you know how it goes. But we will be live streaming, not officially live streaming, but we're broadcasting a two-hour interview show every day with a lot of the speakers. So whereas, you know, broadcasting live, you know, 80 different events is kind of extraordinary. We're gonna interview those top thought leaders for 2 hours a day, and it'll broadcast every day in the late afternoon. And you can buy that, you know, individually, or you can buy that on as a package. So I'm excited to what's emerging. It's taken me 9 months just to get to this first event. And fortunately, you know, there's a lot of help that's shown up in Tulum, but I'm excited for it. I wish you could come, Jasper, but you got a new baby.
Yeah. Can't quite get to Mexico right now, but definitely would love to be there. It sounds amazing.
That was a bit of a long answer to your regenerative question, but
that was perfect. That was perfect. Yeah. It inspired a lot of thoughts in me. But first, just speaking to Regen Week, which is happening next week. I mean, as an event producer, I can understand or imagine anyways the massive amount of work that takes to pull that off, like with that many different pockets.
I don't sleep a lot.
Yeah. Clearly. And so it's impressive that you're able to pull it off, especially for a first run. And it sounds like, you know, what you're speaking to with regeneration, it was interesting you kind of talked about the arc of the green to the sustainable to the regeneration. And even if you just look at the words that they're using, you know, like sustainable is sustaining something. It's like you hit a note on a piano and you're waiting till it disappears. but you want to make that sustain last as long as possible. And so I kind of felt like that with the sustainable movement. There was this kind of like feeling of like, okay, we have this limited resource, planet Earth. We have to sustain as long as we can until it fades out naturally. Whereas moving to the regenerative concept is the idea, like nature, like you said, can actually redevelop itself and recreate itself. And as things die, new things are born. It just reminds me of the human body. You know, it's like we're a regenerative organism, constantly regenerating our cells. And so the planet is too, nature is naturally. So then it becomes a question of how do we do that in the human systems that we're constantly interacting with and creating and being a part of, whether we like it or not. And it also seems like the Green Sustainable was very clearly focused on the environmental, you know, physical factors of, you know, products and food growing and that kind of stuff. Whereas it seems like with the regenerative movement, it's like suddenly it's just opened up into like, okay, this is bigger than just how we treat the land or how we make products and what we make them out of. I mean, that's huge, obviously, but the social component I'm really interested in, obviously, because that's my jam, but also because you were doing Tribalize for a while, and I know that was really focused on the social infrastructure and regeneration, and that's something I'm really curious about. Just my own experience living in a community for the past 5 years is that the ideal is always this feeling of regeneration where you put in and it comes back. You put in and it comes back. And there's this kind of like toroidal infinite source of energy that as you put in, it comes back naturally. But what I've found is that sometimes it feels like that and other times it doesn't. Other times it feels like you're giving and it's not coming back. And then you're like, is this regenerative? I don't feel regenerated. And I'm curious, you know, with your experience with Tribalize, and maybe you can speak to Tribalize a bit, if you want, but, you know, what do you find are the real challenges in the kind of social regeneration of a community?
So this goes back to a little of why I do what I do, which you sort of asked me to start with. And I will say that, you know, there's a kind of a sacred seed, if you will, of cultivating the alliance in everything I do. And, you know, if we look back at tribal civilization, I call it, I have a term called village consciousness. Mm. And, you know, every city on this planet, every civilization has started as a tribe, you know, and grown from there. So even the United States of America was started with 13 villages or colonies and became the United States of America. So if we go back to our roots, we really will see that sitting in circle with others is the unit of connection on this planet. That's how individuals have connected, whether it's one-on-one or in a group, but sitting around the fire is the earliest experience of us coming together. And so everything I do kind of looks at the human as sort of this primal being. And of course, the powers that be are trying to turn us into techno bots, and whether we're actually injected with some nanotechnology now that's going to turn us into some techno bot, I pray not, but I do see humanity forking into this sort of singularity transhuman agenda that's being thrust upon us for a sense of control versus the organic human that is still trying to follow its natural sense of being. And of course, most of the structures in society have been developed to separate us, to disempower us, because when we come together, the church outlawed dancing in the 16th century. Why? Because when we dance together, we feel that unity and power. That's the whole electronic music, you know, movement. It's all about us being in oneness together. And if we do feel our common humanity, we unite around a shared goal. But they're doing their best to, you know, to disenfranchise us from that. So I don't think we have an overpopulation problem on this planet. I do believe we have systems that are not allowing us to grow food anywhere on the planet, to create energy systems and to build structures. we have the awareness and we have the technology to be able to do all of that. Okay. It's really simple. We have the regenerative know-how now to build civilizations anywhere. I'm working on a couple projects that are looking at developing cities, regenerative cities of the future. How do we actually, can we rehaul and overhaul our current, you know, city structure? I don't know. I think it's pretty fried. Mm-hmm. And maybe we have to start over in some respects and building regenerative practices and systems and tools into the future civilizations that we're building on this planet. Because no matter what, even if we have an economic collapse, even if there is a collapse of Western civilization, which is deeply possible right now, we will make it through. Some of us will make it through to the next era of whatever that era might be. And I'm praying that, I'm not living on land yet, but, you know, I got a lot of friends who are, and I value those who are doing it because it's not easy. It's certainly not easy, whether it's just the nature of getting along or the nature of, you know, being able to develop a property with limited resources. So I go back to, you know, my roots of almost everything I've done professionally, and that is about building connection, about building trust, about building collaborative structures for people, because I do believe that we've become this society of self-reliance, like, you know, do it all yourself, don't trust other people, just make sure you take care of your own needs. That is exactly the wrong message. That I just heard a report about Darwin and the system of evolution and how it's all wrong. Like the whole hierarchy is all wrong. It basically caused us to think of ourselves in that hierarchical system rather than the other definition of survival of the fittest, meaning fitting in to a community, fitting in to your village, fitting into your community with your gifts. Nobody has to do it all. We live in a world where you kind of have to do it all now. You have to buy your own stuff. You have to make your own money. I mean, you just can't even ask your neighbor for a cup of sugar like you used to. Things have broken down where the trust level is like, oh, you take care of yourself. If you saw that movie that was on Netflix, you know, what was it called? Leave the World Behind. The great distrust that's happened in society where people aren't really helping each other, that's a terrible breakdown. And it's led to, you know, the distrust. It's led to wars. It's led to economic disparity. It's led to social injustice. It's led to all the great problems on the planet. And that's because we've allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. We as humans have a deep desire to connect and to trust as our humans. And it's kind of been kind of taken away from us in many respects. So I hope we can get it back. I do believe that there are structures and systems that are being developed. The whole decentralization movement is really about people honoring each other, but, you know, kind of not living under a centralized, you know, or totalitarian force. And we can see it now with censorship, and we can see it now with, you know, COVID lockdowns, and they're doing their best to create these systems of control. And for what reason? The extrapolation of resources. You know, we have enough money on this planet that everybody could be living abundantly if the wealth wasn't hoarded in the less than 1%. Anyway, so you got me started. Where do we? I've opened the rabbit hole.
Totally. I mean, it's really interesting. I studied anthropology, and it's like you go back at least as far as civilization recorded, you know, in our current history books. And there seems to be that natural system that ends up creating this hoarding, you know, extraction to an elite class who, you know, holds all the power and the money, usually quite miserably. And then there's the 99% who are doing everything with very little resources and are usually a bit happier. So it's obviously, I think anyone listening to this probably is aware of, you know, the power imbalances that are happening in our world right now. And that's obviously a big, it's a big purpose and driving force of why we do these sorts of conferences and try and create more community in our life and for others. And something I wanted to share, because you brought up Darwin, because I studied The Origin of Species in university at one point. And this is a great example of how power will change or tamper with things that are said to make it more sensible for their agenda, which is that Darwin was a quite religious man. And he wrote the book knowing that it was going to cause a lot of, you know, problems for the Christian world. But something that he did that never gets spoken of is that in the book, the idea of the survival of the fittest is mentioned 3 times, which is, you know, it's an idea that, you know, he did have some credence in, but he mentions cooperative evolution.
Wow.
And love like 200 times.
No.
Yeah. Like he talks about how like the way that most organisms evolve is through cooperation, not through competition, but nobody knows that. Because they're like
rewritten.
Yeah, there's like that doesn't help my, you know, us being able to create an economy of scarcity and competition. So yeah, it's interesting, and I think that with biologists it's coming up a lot more in terms of how cells and also organisms work together, especially you get into, you know, the cerebral brained mammals like ourselves. You know, it's only through cooperation that humans became the, you know, dominating species in the world. And now, of course, that's unraveling. You know, our cooperative skills are unraveling. We have all these institutions and systems that we've created to try and keep these large scale, you know, populations in some order. But that's starting to unravel. And especially as resources come into question and all civilizations end, you know, there's an ebb and flow to all civilizations.
Yeah, we would be the first.
Yeah, exactly. And so something I'm interested in tapping your brain about is, you know, for a long time, I felt like, okay, this change needs to happen. And the only way it's going to happen likely in my lifetime is there's going to be some big catastrophe or some big, you know, meltdown of the systems. And then, like you say, people will continue, but it'll be a hard time. And then we'll yeah. figure out how to rebuild from there. Hopefully in a good way. But again, I kind of see that there are naturally going to be these forking paths, some going in one direction, some going in another direction. And just in the last, you know, 8 years, being kind of aware of some of the technologies that have been developed, including, you know, blockchain and decentralized technology, being able to handle money and political governance structures and all these things, it's the first time I'm like, oh, wow, maybe there is a way to kind of create the new world underneath of everything else that's happening, so that as that unravels, it's not like we have to start from scratch. It's like we actually have some foundation to build on already.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how you feel like the role of technology and in particular decentralization fits into regenerative movement and community as well. I know you wrote an article about kind of centralized versus decentralized community living. And
well, I think it is happening what you're speaking of. I think that's why you and I are here, is because mm-hmm. there is, as I was doing my research at the beginning of Regen Week, I found over 300 nonprofit organizations focused on regenerative thought leadership. And I was like, wow, this movement is far bigger than I realized. And the reason we don't know it's that big is because there's no centralized system of promoting that. That's kind of why I created Regen Week, is to take the thought leadership movement that's happening out there, because that's how any movement starts. It starts with the ideas generated by a certain amount of people, a small amount of people, and then like a good virus, they are transmitted across. You know, and so regeneration isn't just happening in Canada or the US or Costa Rica. It's happening all over the planet. And it's been really wonderful to meet. I think why I'm obviously doing Regen Week is because I've met a lot of these people over the last 6-7 years through Tribalize. And it allowed me to call people on the phone and say, hey, come and do an event, be a part of this. So I think it's happening. It's that metaphor of the snake skin, right? You know, the old skin is shedding while the new skin is birthing underneath it. And there's a moment of blindness. I think not everybody knows this, that when the old skin comes off, There's a moment of blindness. And I think we're maybe in that moment of blindness in civilization and society right now, where we don't see what's coming fully. And there's definitely, you know, great people doing great work, from Bill Reed with Regenesis to Joe Brewer with the Design School of Regeneration. Like, there's some incredible visionaries that are actually putting these ideas on the ground in systems to educate people. So there's no excuse not to pursue this, because there's plenty of places to learn, to get exposure, to volunteer, to collaborate. And, you know, whether you can make it to Regen Week this year, we're doing it much bigger in Puerto Rico next year. And we've already started the planning. It'll be the same weekend, March 21st. Can you imagine March 21st doesn't have, I mean, it's the equinox, and we often talk about it as the first day of spring, but we should be celebrating as the rebirth of nature every year, that nature comes back as strong as ever after a cold, dark winter, you know. And just look at these systems. They're just so obvious to us. So I do see this movement congealing into one, business models that actually make sense. You know, I mean, the solar industry is on fire right now. The regenerative wellness space is really starting to take off with electromagnetic, you know, frequency machines that are healing people. You know, that there's so many things that are being inserted into our culture and our business world that are actually already showing big results. And of course, they're being censored or they're being shut down wherever possible by the elite. But there's great places to go. I mean, one of my great go-to sources, a guy named Mike Adams, who runs Brighteon and is known as the Health Ranger. He's an incredible source of information. Of course, the controversial Alex Jones. I listen to Tucker Carlson a lot. There's some really important journalists, Russell Brand also, that are reaching tens of millions of people right now. So that's the other thing that'll really help our movement spread, is doing media. And that's why we're doing 2 hours of interviews every day, to help those interviews get out there in the world and touch people. Even just one interview can change someone's life by giving them the idea that it's possible, that they can do something. And that's really another one of the themes of Regen Week, is how do we show people what is possible and give them the courage and give them the relationships that they can go off and make this stuff happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely see it as like a catalyst for inspiration and cross-pollination of ideas and, you know, businesses and nonprofits and all the sorts. And I definitely realize in my own journey of, you know, what I guess I've been calling the re-villaging movement. So more focused on the village aspect, which I guess kind of exists within the ecosystem of regenerative living. But what I found is that, you know, while we can give all these tools for how to do it, a lot of it comes down to education, because people don't know how to use the tools or to be in regenerative living. And it is something that we kind of need to relearn as a humanity, because obviously we did it for a long time, but kind of out of necessity, out of survival. And right now it's kind of like we need to do it out of choice. Obviously, survival is kind of on the line as well.
It's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. But right now, it's like you said, it's like the early adopter thing. You know, we're looking for those people that are thinking ahead, that are watching the wave, and they want to catch the wave. And it can be tricky, you know, when all those early adopters are spread out all over the world, kind of like you said, decentralized. So it's really cool to have a centralized conference and opportunity to connect and cross-pollinate. And I could see that growing quite a bit. I mean, I think there's like some, you know, research into, you know, the tipping point, let's say, of population shift in terms of ideas spreading. And I think it's like, you basically just need like 10%, about 10% of people to be on board, and you can completely shift the other 90%.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of optimism there. There's a lot of hope, which is really important in these times.
Well, let's just take let's just take food, for instance, okay?
Yeah.
Everyone should be growing their own food right now. Mm. There's not a person in this world that, you know, shouldn't be going back to a system of self-reliance and growing mm-hmm. their own food in their backyard or in their house. Because the food system is being disrupted intentionally. You hear these talks about eating bugs, and that you literally have companies actually going into the manufacturing of bugs right now. They want us to eat bugs. That's mm-hmm. absurd. So, and you know, these the regenerative agriculture movement is doing their best to help people understand that soil is a living ecosystem, mm-hmm. and if it's not, if you're not growing your food inside an ecosystem like that, then you're not getting the nutrients you need mm-hmm. to actually live. I eat a lot of organic food. I don't take any pharmaceutical medicine. And I haven't had a vaccine or a PCR test. I am a pure blood, thank God. And my health, I'm much older than I look, and I'm very fortunate that I have good health. But that's because I don't put chemicals and processed food and other things in my body that are tearing it down. They want us to eat shit. They make it, you know, convenient for us to eat shit. Excuse my mm-hmm. language. But mm-hmm. we need to go back to this agrarian way of living if we want to stay healthy, if we want to stay thriving, and if we want to control our own future. Because right now, you're taking for granted that food's going to be in the market when you mm-hmm. go there tomorrow. And I mm-hmm. guarantee you that pretty soon, the shelves are going to start being emptied. And mm-hmm. it's going to be harder and harder for people to have their daily calorie intake. And I pray that doesn't turn humans against each other, but these mm-hmm. are things that one needs to be worried about.
Totally. I mean, food is...
We have to remain optimistic. And I think humans are resilient. I think we're optimistic. And I think we're creative. And I think we can find our way forward in mm-hmm. this crazy day and age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we have to trust. We have to have faith.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think for a lot of people in the world thinking about these issues, it can feel quite daunting.
Yeah.
You know, just the magnitude. I mean, even growing food, like, it's a lot of work to grow your own food. You know, truly. It's you got to be dedicated. And even if you have a full scale garden, you're still only usually providing, you know, 30 to 50% of your food that you really eat. And obviously some communities and people are doing amazing jobs figuring out the efficient systems to grow food and figuring out how to automate it more so it can happen. But yeah, back to, you know, people thinking about these thoughts and thinking about wanting to be regenerative. This is something that, like, I'm always thinking about in terms of my own personal day-to-day experience. Is like, how do I live regeneratively? What does that look like? And you know, there's the obvious things. It's like, you know, try and get as little waste as you can and try and be in right relationship with the land. And like you said, eat good, you know, use natural medicines as much as you can. And all these kind of practical things that I feel like have been more or less, at least for me, instilled. But the kind of nuanced question I'm often asking myself is like, how do I relate to people regeneratively? And how do I relate to this movement? If, let's say, you know, right now I'm in an entrepreneurial seat trying to relate to this movement as part of it. But let's say I work in a different job that is not part of the regenerative movement. And I, you know, for whatever reason, I need to keep that job. You know, what do you feel like are the kind of daily practices that anyone can do to start to live life regeneratively? I mean, you spoke to growing food, and that's a really good one. But yeah, anything else? And yeah, also just kind good, of on the good, relational good question. Aspect.
There's maybe I can send you something that you can post, because there is some good work being done of what a regenerative human is. Right. And it starts with this personal transformation movement that we've seen emerge over the last decade or two. A lot of the plant medicine explosion is because mm-hmm. of, you know, helping people to see themselves more clearly as part of a natural system. Or a cosmic system. Like, we are not separate beings running around we're trees that got uprooted, you know, I like to say, and those roots are what connects us. I mean, I love the whole mycelial network theory, you know, that we're all connected through the undergrowth. Mm-hmm. Trees aren't just trees. They're systems of rooted connection under mm-hmm. the soil. Mm-hmm. And really, so are humans. Humans are not separate. We have a inherent energetic signature of connection that's happening mm-hmm. every single moment. Telepathy, thinking of people across the world, having them call you the next morning. You know, like we see it. We see the operating system at work. We don't trust that operating system because it's not available to us. Some people, it's available more so than others. But we have to develop it. We actually have to tune in with it and get out of this sort of constant media narrative that's running in our head. The more media you listen to, the less you're going to be connected to this greater system that we're a part mm-hmm. of. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's what meditation helps you do daily. That's what a yoga practice helps you do. It reminds you that you are just part of a larger system of connection with yourself, connection with others, connection with nature, and connection with the divine. And mm-hmm. if you can get all that in alignment, then you have become a regenerative human overnight. And that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of self-realization. Uh-huh. How you've operated in the past. I mean, I'm in my 60s, and for many years I was running an operating wounded traumatic program from my childhood. I think mm-hmm. everyone on this planet can relate to that. You know, why did that stick with us, and why did we not heal it earlier on? Because we didn't know. We didn't have the tools. We didn't have the self-awareness to be able to heal our traumas, our childhood traumas. And they were caused by an imprint of a system that really has scarred people. I mean, even just birth alone is a system of scarring children at a young age, cutting off their umbilical cord in moments after they've reached the world. You know, it's like every choice has been about traumatizing humans rather than about creating connection for humans. And that's really what we have to focus on now. So when you ask, what can we do to not just further our lives as regenerative citizens, but also to build these new social structures, mm-hmm. that is to build a small group of people who you trust. And I know you have that because you live with folks like that right now. You've mm-hmm. inherently put a lot of time into building that support system. We all have a close, you know, what I would call soul family. Mm-hmm. And those are the people we should be focusing on building deeper systems of connection and collaboration with, because that's where the juice is. Brad and I has a lot of acquaintances in the world, you know, thousands. Uh-huh. I can't have any more friends on Facebook. But the point is, those aren't that's not my soul network. Those are people that know me uh-huh. digitally. Those are people that may have met me over the years, but we're not in a system of cooperation with one another. And frankly, that's what the village is. The village is a system of collaboration and resource support of one another. And mm-hmm. and to do that requires a great deal of separation from our ego. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to say even the breakdown of modern day relationships and marriage comes from a separation of egos in a sacred union context. Joseph mm. Campbell talks about if we want sacred union, true sacred union, we have to obliterate the ego. We have to let go of the ego and completely merge. And mm-hmm. boy, in this, you know, in this world of Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, not having an identity, mm-hmm. letting go of your ego, and that's, you know, that's the conflict we're in right now, is how do you live regeneratively out of an ego-centric world? Because uh-huh. the choices you make are not about me, they're about we. And uh-huh. to be in a condition to make we choices takes a lot of work, a lot of work.
Yeah.
We're doing the best we can, but I think we need to accelerate that best as much as yeah. we can. And so I'm doing my part with Tribalize. I think this Tribalize is going to be one of the best ever because we're teaching, we have 16 workshops of various practices of facilitation. And helping people learn how to deeper connect with one another. And how many people in the world today know how to facilitate a circle? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not enough. So mm-hmm. there's tools that you can start to learn about how to create connection with others, because none of us are natural at that right now. We have to relearn it. And it's mm-hmm. really critical to help people understand how to collaborate. You have to come up with what I call the collective intention of a group. And then everything needs to serve that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not serving that, if it's serving some individual, then there's going to be discord in that circle. So, mm-hmm. There's a couple examples that are being done right, but I would say mostly the community movement is still a giant experiment.
Right.
And the Revillager movement that you've called it,
right.
Which I love that name, because we are revillaging ourselves from the past, going back into the future. So how do we do that better? I don't know. We need good examples. We need good examples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think what you spoke to around trust building seems to be a pivotal aspect that I've really encountered again and again, because whether you're living in a co-living community or eco-village, like I am and a lot of the people in the intentional community circle are, or you're living in a city and you're creating community with people in your neighborhood or, around you, or you're creating a business or a team of any kind, it's like the make or break is how much you trust each other. It really comes down to that. You can have all the systems in place, you can have the money, you can have all these things, but if you don't trust each other, the social fabric breaks down. And inherently, I think humans, when we feel a break in trust, we do get selfish, because we're like, oh, this is not a together thing anymore.
Yeah,
it's like I need to take care of myself now. And there is a beauty in self-awareness, or like self-preservation and self-care in any relationship and in any community. But the trust thing seems really important. And I've noticed, in our day and age, as you were saying with Instagram and Facebook, like that's had all sorts of negative consequences on our mental health that, again, most people know about now, which is great. Not much is changing, but at least people are aware. And one of the things that I see is that it harnesses distrust. It harnesses the aggravation and conflict of, oh, those people believe something else, I don't like them or I don't trust them. And obviously in our political divide, it's the same thing. It's like there's two halves of the brain trying to work together to create a government or a country, and they hate each other. They can't work together. They're just trying to... They don't trust each other. And so imagine if both sides of your brain didn't trust each other, you'd be useless. So I guess as a kind of curiosity and maybe a kind of wrap up question before kind of sharing a bit more about the Regen Week coming up, I am curious, what has your experience been of, I suppose rebuilding trust or gaining trust? I mean, I think gaining trust often is a bit more intuitive. You kind of feel with people, and as you develop and as you have a history, it creates itself naturally. But when we break trust, let's say in a romantic relationship is usually the most easy to relate to, but also in friendships and also in communities, when there's a break of trust, like, how do we rebuild it? And then, because I think that's the microcosm of the society. And because you're doing all these great practices and tribalize around, community cohesion and social coherence, I'm curious, what is your experience with trust and the best ways to build it?
Yeah, we have a crisis of trust in our world today. It's probably the most debilitating aspect of the world today. Mm-hmm. And to say that, oh, I'm in a community of 10,000 people online and I have great, that's not where trust is established. The idea of a digital trust system is just not there. Sometimes, and with AI, it's getting more and more complicated. We didn't even bring up AI in the system.
We didn't bring up AI.
That's a little bit too much. Let's not go there yet.
Every podcast needs an AI segment.
Inherent trust building starts with a level of compassion for others that not everybody's built with. Some people are just caregivers extraordinaire. They're well aware of what other people's needs are. They're doing their best to support each other in systems. But it requires a certain surrendering of one's own inherent egoic needs, and to put oneself in a place with others. And, you know, I have some beautiful trusted friendships on this planet. I'm very fortunate. I'm never alone. I know I'm never alone. And it's because I take care of people, and I take care of my friends, and I know what they need in their lives, and I try to connect them with others. And I do that regularly. And I also have my own selfish driven needs to make RegenWeek happen. And sometimes I bump up against people and they don't like me because I put up a wall and say, you have to do it this way, or you have to make this happen. And you know, we all have our challenges moving agendas forward, but how can we do that gracefully? And it means really listening and really being compassionate about what other people's needs are. If you're just focused on your own inherent needs, you're going to have conflict. You will create conflict in your life. And it's mitigating that. So I also feel like coming together as frequently as possible. And I often say this about communities: eating together, meditating together, dancing together, cooking together, gardening together, like anything that you can do together, an activity, creates a level of trust that carries through. If you do, I mean, I'm sure your community does a lot of things together. And the more that is not a bunch of separate people trying to connect, it's more of like we become that unit. We become that cohesive feeling of tribe. We talk about tribe a lot in our lives, but we don't practice it. We don't compromise to have it. Like people have to compromise. This world where people are just so concerned about having their own needs met and their own professional self-grandizing, you know, I mean, Facebook and Instagram have led to this sort of narcissistic view of the world. You know, I mean, I hate to say it. I feel sorry for those people who are more concerned about telling their story on Facebook than it is to connect deeply with people in person. Both are valuable. I'm not saying they're not valuable, but let's see where we want to really put our energy. And even just having a household of friends is a start. You know, living with three or four people as roommates, as housemates, where you're literally contributing to each other's lives, that's a good place to start. You don't have to go live in a 100-person community overnight. And that's not for everybody, as you well know. Some people just get highly triggered. Their traumas show up. I like to say if we sit in a circle with others, we can see each other very clearly and be seen by others very clearly. It's the idea of being seen. I had some people see me in a phone call recently, and I wrote them a note saying, to be seen by another is one of the greatest gifts that's given to us. But if you want to be seen, you have to be an authentic human, and you have to be a caring human to be seen. And that's really one of my goals is the woman who runs Daybreakers, the dance party.
Yes.
It's a great idea. But she's starting the Belonging Center, or the Belong Center. She's starting a whole new venture about loneliness and about belonging. And I think we all have to start to look at, why have we become a society of loneliness?
Yeah.
That's not been the way the world was. We all lived in neighborhoods where we knew our neighbors. We all lived in villages where we knew everyone in the village. We have to get back to that. We can't be a global civilization and think we're going to get along with everybody. We may not. It's okay. Yeah. So my advice is start small. Start with a unit of connection with a small group of people and then build on it. So let's see where we go. But thank you for having me. It's been a joy. I love talking philosophical when I have nothing else to do.
I as well. Yeah, you got lots on your plate. So thank you for your time. Beautiful answer to that last question as well. And yeah, I just really appreciate your wisdom, your experience, and again, being a part of this.
And to connect with RegenWeek, it's just regenweek.com. regenweek.com. Mm-hmm. And tickets to the daily broadcast will be available by just clicking on our ticket, get tickets button. And, you know, that's the one way you can connect up with us in the coming week or two. And that is to purchase the daily broadcast. And it's only $11. And it's something we really are putting a lot of energy into. Mm. And very, very excited to share the wisdom that is coming together at Regen Week and how we can spread this movement. And thank you for having me, and thank you to your audience for listening.
Yeah, thank you for being here, and blessings on Regen Week. I think it's going to be amazing. And, you know, if you happen to be near Tulum or can get to Tulum, just go be there in person. I know I would. But yeah, super grateful, and all of the good energy towards the smoothness of that.
Let's pray for a healthy, regenerative future. We have all the tools that it's going to take.
Absolutely.
We just need the will.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you, Jasper. Brad. Take care, man. All right. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the ReVillager podcast. If you have any questions or want to connect with us, you can find us online at revillager.com and on most social platforms at ReVillager. That's ReVillager. If you'd like to hear more of these conversations, please subscribe in your favorite podcast app. And until then, happy ReVillaging.